This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 3rd of September, 1964. The title of this lecture is Clearing, What It Is. This tape is 87 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. What's the date? 3rd of September, 1814, St. Hill Special Briefing Course. I had a bunch of things to talk to you about, but my mail line has been hitting me so hard in the last few minutes that I'm a bit discombobulated and so forth. There's a storm going on in London at the present moment. It was a protest by the director of PromReg of the use of the word clear in Certainty magazine. And she carefully went around to the staff and collected all the end theta that everybody was saying on staff on this particular word. Well, frankly, if you went back and used the technology of 1958, you could make it clear. You wouldn't make 100% job of the line, don't you see? But something on the order of 50% or something like that. And they'd stay that way nicely. And some of them stayed that way for years. Now, the point I'm making on the situation is a standard term, which originally came out of the field of adding machines. I'm actually talking to you now about PE and that sort of thing. And I'll gradually remember what I was going to talk to you about. In the field of adding machines, there is a button that says clear. And that's what clear means. And that's a fairly antique definition, because it goes back in Dianetics. It goes back to Dianetics' Evolution of a Science, which predates Book One, of course. And the example is given in that. And it goes back to the invention of adding machines, which is quite previous to Dianetics Scientology. So this is an old term. That's actually what clear means. It's a C-L-E-A-R, which is written on the button on an adding machine. Now, let's just become factual about the definitions here, and let's say exactly what they are. Now, why is that there? Well, in the world of electronic computers, they sometimes have solder trouble. This gives you another viewpoint of the same problem. They have solder trouble. There's these tremendous numbers of circuits that they build up inside of one of their computers. And these circuits are extremely complex, and when somebody gets in there with a soldering iron occasionally to fix in a new transistor or something of the sort, well, drop a drop of solder or something. Well, the second he does that, he will add some figure into all the computations. All the computations will now have this additive figure because it's short-circuited with a drop of solder, you see. And so that when you say, how far is it to the moon, this will give you the answer, but then multiplies or subtracts this soldered figure. So it never comes up with the right answer. Now, in plain mechanical adding machines, you can do this very, very easily. This is not a computer. Let's get back more elementary. On a plain, ordinary, garden-variety adding machine used in every accounts office any place in the world, except the Abacus, but I imagine you can make the same mistake on the Abacus. Yes, you can. You've just got through adding up yesterday's receipts, and then you start to add up today's receipts, and you never push the clear button. You never push that clear button and pull the handle down twice. If you don't believe it, try it sometime on an adding machine. You get the most remarkable answers. So you've added this all up, and now you've still got a total unseen in the machine. So when you reach over here and pull the lever, put another figure on it and add it, it just keeps adding this total, only you don't notice that it's adding the total into the whole line because until you're clear down to the end of it. So you've added yesterday's receipts, you see, and that figure is still lurking in the machine, uncleared. And now you start to add up today's receipts, and you get yesterday's receipts and today's receipts in the total. So the answer, you see, if there wasn't a clearing in it, was a cumulative answer, which depended on some old data modifying the present time answer. Now the mind, when it has an old experience, will add that data into its current experience. And it keeps coming up with wrong answers. A professor looks at some college student with a slight twitch of the eye, and this girl says, "He has winked at me." And dust got in his eye at that minute, you see. "He has now winked at me, so there's nothing I can do now but quit school." And you say, "Well, that's crazy." No, no, it's a perfectly correct answer according to that computer. Because she was assaulted when she was 10 by a fellow who winked at her first. And it messed her up considerably, see? So to prevent this experience from occurring, she adds the old experience into this new experience and gets really a wrong answer. Well, she actually is incapable of observing the new experience because she's still got the old experience, you see. So she can't come up with a right answer to this situation, which is some dust got in his eye. This would never occur to her. It must be very meaningful that he winked at her. And this means, of course, she's going to be assaulted. And this means, of course, she's going to get messed up like that. And therefore, she's going to have to leave school. That's the only answer to the situation. You say, "Well, that's silly. It's outrageous." Well, that's because she is not cleared on the subject of winks. You see? So where she still has a lurking datum, which is an aberrated datum, and what people have never gotten, I suppose, is this word aberrated. It means nuts! You got it? I love the some people's evaluation of this particular thing because it's a... Well, he worries a little bit when he gets broke, so therefore he's aberrated. People worry when they get broke. He's not aberrated. No, it means nuts. See? This guy's shoes in the morning are found to be where the left one, the right one is where the left one is, and the left one's where the right one is. They're crossed, so their toes go out slightly. So he looks at this situation alongside of his bed and has a nervous breakdown. That's aberrated. People are not operating in the degree of the uncleared datum. Okay. They're going out here and saying, "Well, sunlight, when it shines in my eyes, hurts my eyes, so therefore I must be aberrated on the subject of sunlight." Now, that's not aberrated. That's not aberrated. That's might be peculiar in degree or something. That's no aberration. Oh, it's much worse than this. The guy is walking along in the dark, and his eyes hurt because of the bright lights he sees in them. That's nuts. He doesn't know where they're coming from. There's no source for these lights. He goes around worrying about it. He finally decides, wrong answer because he's not cleared on the subject, that Martians keep landing in front of him all the time.
He's nuts.
Now, that's a sedatum that needs to be cleared. The girl with the aberration on the subject of every time she sees a man's eye twitch, she has to leave college or something. That's interfering with her life. Like mad. And that is the datum that needs to be cleared. And a clear wouldn't have those. It doesn't add in yesterday's totals into a completely wrong answer for today. Do you follow? That's all a clear is. Now, it also happens that when a person is very, very aberrated, I hate to have to say very, very, let's just call it aberrated, because that's the missing word here, as well as clear. When a person is aberrated, he can't remember a thing. Nothing. Along some given line of action. Now, this girl, who the professor winked at her and she has to leave school, can't remember where it happened, what class she's in, when she enrolled in that class. She'd have to think for a long time before she finally even come up with a subject, don't you see? It's where did she put her textbooks, you know? Anything connected with that, her memory stinks. Do you follow it? She usually goes down the hall to this particular classroom and goes into the wrong classroom. You get the idea? In other words, she cannot remember on this particular subject. And as far as being able to remember the subject itself, she's going to flunk her finals, man. Going to flunk them. Memory bad on that particular subject. You got it? Lousy. Oh, she can remember everything else. She can remember letters from her girlfriends. She can remember this, and she can remember childhood. She can remember all sorts of things. But anything connected with this classroom, she can't remember. This thing is buried. She doesn't even remember the assault on her when she was 10. This is little gimmick is what made Freud famous. Just this one little tiny gimmick. That if you could get somebody to remember what had happened to them, they were better. Now, she doesn't even remember that. The assault on her when she was 10. Much less what the subject or class or anything else is about that is associated with. In other words, it's the motion picture screen with no projector, no film, and no audience. That is memory on this given subject. Memory is not a broad condition. Everybody's going around saying, my memory is bad, my memory is good. He has a good memory, he has a bad memory. Bull. Nobody's memory works that even. Nobody's memory works that evenly. It doesn't work that badly, and it doesn't work that goodly. Memory is not a uniform condition. It's as spotty as a leopard. This fellow, he can remember, oh man. You ask him, now what were the dimensions of the last building you built? Oh, he says, that was 97.5 feet wide, and the bricks were 3 1/4 inches above the cantils, and blah, 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 and the roof poles were so forth, and we put 3/16-inch, you know, reinforcement in the ruddy rods, you know. He goes on and on and on. He's a walking warehouse. He's a walking memory. He's a warehouse of memories, you see, on the subject. You say, what'd you have for dinner? He said, well, I don't know. I don't know what I had for dinner. What'd you have for breakfast? Oh, God, don't ask me that. That's too long ago. That's hours ago. On the subject of food, he's a dead blank. On the subject of figures and construction and that sort of thing, man, he's a running racehorse. And that's people. That's the way they are. And the worse off they are, the less they can remember. And now if you got a total blank, you would simply get the condition known as unconsciousness. Or amnesia. And that is simply the culmination of of all hell down fives, eventually adding up to a total wipeout. But that is the extreme condition, and you can't even talk to that bloke. He can't even open his eyes, much less see anybody wink. So it actually, from the world's standpoint, doesn't matter much whether this fellow can remember or not remember, observe or not observe, because he's not even there. So it isn't a question of memory, it's a question of notness. He's not, memory's not, past is not, present is not, don't you see? Everything is not, not there. There isn't any where you could get a culmination of adding up all these bad memories into a totality of bad memory. But would you have at that moment a normal human being? No, you would not have a normal human being. You wouldn't have a human being. You'd just have a lump of meat. See? So to say somebody has a bad memory, on what? It's an incomplete statement. If you said somebody has amnesia, yes, you could say, well, all right, that's a total bad memory, but of course you can't even classify it as memory because he's not even there to remember. It's a gone dog that we're talking about now. So memory is not an even condition. People remember some things well and remember some things badly. Now, if you wanted to improve somebody's memory, you'd also have to say, on what? See? Guy sets a goal for the session. I want to improve my memory. Well, all right, he set it for the session, and you're an auditor, and this is a session. You're not going to argue with him. Let him make a mistake. It's his mistake. But if you were handling this sensibly, you would have to ask the remaining... I mean, don't say that you should do this in the session, you know, but I mean, in investigating the situation, you would have to say, improve your memory on what? Now you'd have something to work on, wouldn't you? But up to the moment when he doesn't add the on what, you don't have anything to work on. And you're left with this complete lie that memory is an evenness. Don't you see? Memory is an even goodness or badness, or memory as a whole subject can be improved. Oh, no, memory as a whole subject could only be improved. Yes, as a whole subject, it could be improved, but only by stressing the particularities on which his memory is bad. And then if you kept picking up each thing on which his memory was bad, having asked this burning question, improve your memory on what, you would now get an answer like, well, improve my memory for names. Well, any particular names? Yes, girls' names. I just don't seem to be able to remember. I meet Agnes and I think she's Bessie. I don't know, you know. This is horrible. Well, man, you're right on the track of that button called clear. Because it goes hand in glove. Just as the hell down five in the electronics machine that's held down there with a piece of solder, just as yesterday's total receipts are being added in unobserved, why, so he doesn't observe that zone or area where, quote, his memory is bad, and that is where he is aberrated. You couldn't ask for a nicer little set of scales by which to measure somebody's nuttiness. He says, I want to improve my memory. You say, what do you want to improve memory? I want to improve my memory on names. Any particular names? Yeah, I want to improve my memory on girls' names. Now, you as the auditor have something to run down. And you'd run it down and you'd find some, now let's go into Dianetics, you'd find some traumatic experience. Traumatic was a word invented to bedevil medical students. Some painful experience, some kind or another, that's buried. Not in the subconscious. There's no subconscious for anything to get buried in. It's just buried in the guy himself. It's an occlusion. Use a big word on you. Occlusion. To occlude. To slam the door in the face of, to close the window quickly in the front of, you know, to drop the blind. Occlude. Not there. That window he can't look out of, that backtrack he can't look into. That's gone. And sitting on it will be a nuttiness. And it'll be a good big nuttiness.
It's not a little bitty nuttiness. And sometimes he doesn't even know he's got this nuttiness or he wouldn't have it, see? It'll be something on the order of, if doors are half open, it's bad luck, and all day long people will be mad at him. That's sane, isn't it? He's got it added up and there won't be an even flow of time or something. He can explain it to you, but once he starts explaining it, it's a gone dog. His memory starts opening up on it at once. All you have to do is turn a spotlight on this thing. All you have to do is start looking at the machine and find out where the figure is held down, where the five is held down. All you've got to do is just monkey with it a little bit, and it starts to clear. And every time you can find some place where somebody is off the beam, you will also find, these facts all go together, you will find some place where somebody can't remember. He got a bum datum. Painful past experience. These are all of the same family of stuff, see? He's got a painful area there that hurts him to look at. So, of course, that gives him a bad memory on that particular subject. And this gives him wrong answers in present time. It's just that. Wrong answers all the time. You'll find out he'll take irrational decisions consistently and continuously. If you ask him to design a door for a house where he'd fix up something a cat could get through but a man couldn't, you know, there'd be something nutty on this subject. This thing, though, would appear at first glance to be very hard to locate because it has so many locks, so many appended, associated experiences, things that are like it, and it's just a great big pileup of stuff. Great big pileup of stuff. Well, you start removing these things, and you start getting down to the core of this thing, and all of a sudden we find the traumatic experience of some kind or another. We find with it the big overt, we know now the misunderstood word. And when we've got this thing unpiled, why, it flies apart like a clock that a baby has just slopped a hammer to. That goes blong. That's the end of that aberration. He couldn't get it back if he tried. All of a sudden, when he thinks, it doesn't get stopped by the clock, see, in there or something. He starts thinking on this subject. He sees a door, and the door is half open. See? Well, formerly, door half open meant so on, and therefore he shouldn't probably go through the door because of so on. It's very bad luck to have such a thing, and so on. And the only thing for it to do was to count the number of steps he had taken to the door and then walk the steps backwards. You say, what the hell was this all about? Well, that's what's the matter with it. It's what the hell is this all about? You see, the one thing which is true about these things is their sum total answer is incomprehensible. The horrible thing you're watching in the field of psychiatry is them trying to make sense out of the incomprehensible. Well, you don't make sense out of the incomprehensible. You find out what caused the incomprehensible. You don't enter it on the wrong side and say, well, let's see, how does this all add up? How does this all add up? Now, let's see, what does he really mean? He doesn't mean nothing, man. He just means he's got a wrong answer. He means he's nuts. I mean, that's all you have to understand about it. We don't care what this bird's chattering about. We don't have to do anything about it at all. You see, it's just blah, and so forth, and you step backwards in order to open the door, but if you didn't do that, and something like that. And he feels depressed and blue all the time because doors are usually half open. And somebody's trying to add this up, you see, on the other side of the ledger. He's trying to add this up this way. Let's see. Now, he probably has something to do, and there's probably something in all of man that has to do with square shapes excite a complex. You can't add these things up into general behavior because it's just this bird's aberration. That's he's just nuts that way. That doesn't mean there's anybody else in the world crazy on the subject of doors half open, don't you see? But this guy is.
Well, all you have to understand about it is the guy doesn't understand it. If you could just understand that it's not necessary to understand what the hell he's talking about, all you've got to find out is what was entered on the other side now, and let's say, what started all this? Where'd this come from? And of course, you're going to get 40 or 50 weird-sounding things come off of this one thing. We find out that when he was 4 or 5 years old or something like that, it was he who let off the brakes of the family car and ran over his baby brother, and the reason his baby brother has been crippled ever since. And doors sort of add into this in some wild and peculiar way that he had to open the door or something, and you find out it's some phrase in the engram like, open the door and get at him quick, or something like that. Or he's got a stuck picture of a half-open car door or something like that. But that's how it explains, is what's the original experience that is the cause of this bird being aberrated or nuts on this particular subject, so that he can't remember on the subject, so that he can't think on the subject, so that he can't get right answers on the subject, so that he is around the bend on this particular subject. You got it? Nobody is totally crazy. Nobody is totally crazy. The wildest madman in the insane asylum is not totally crazy. And this has got everybody bugged. Everybody else goes crazy on this datum. See? They say, well, craziness should be a state. Insanity should be a general state. Here we got again this thing I just gave you with memory. See? Insanity should be a general state. And we have magistrates sitting there in their moth-eaten wigs, And these fellows are saying, now, Mr. Sawbrain, the local psychiatrist, is now going to give us an opinion as to whether or not somebody is sane or insane. And so, after a few gibblings and dribblings and so forth, Mr. Sawbrain gets up and says, I certify, Your Honor, he's insane. He's a kleptosis skidabup roof bulb. The psychiatrist then have made his pronunciamento, so the man is legally insane. Oh, what kind of a comedy sideshow is this thing? Because nobody is totally insane. Even the girl in the catatonic skits state, if you could get her to open one eye, is liable to ask for a glass of water. Well, that's not an insane request, don't you see? So it isn't an insane act. But man, with his thirst for totalities, his thirst for allness, which you should recognize as just a desire to identify A with A and A with A and everything is A, it's this total identification, you see, has to have, even in his legal systems, a thing called insane. There's nobody insane. There is no such thing as a total insanity. So therefore, there couldn't be such a thing as an insane state. He would have to be insane on some subject, or he'd have to be insane in some area or field of endeavor or action. And it's just that the rest of the sentence is missing. This man is insane is actually this kind of a sentence. An incomplete sentence that requires the dot, dot, dot on the end of it show that it's incomplete. This man is insane, dot, dot, dot. They have never finished the sentence. This man is insane on the subject of women. This man is insane on the subject of the state. This man is insane on the subject of cream cheese. But if they knew that much about insanity, they could cure it. Because what I've given you here is, of course, the missing link in the scientific research area. And it is in the definition of their terms, which is there is a state called general insanity. And they always are trying to dream up new names for this sort of thing. They call them schizophrenics, and they call them this and they call them that, and paranoids, they're trying to get this broad pervasive label, and they're so interested in getting a new term to put on this thing that they frankly have never asked what they're trying to label. And if they just realized that they just haven't completed their sentence, they would have opened the door to a cure. All they had to do is complete their sentence, don't you think? This fellow is dancing around in a straw skirt, and whereas this wouldn't be particularly odd looking in Hollywood, this straw skirt dancing, if it were taking place in Boston, would be cause for comment. Somebody would notice. Well, it isn't even the environmental difference. The guy was nuts whether he was in Hollywood or Boston. But in Boston, they have this sort of thing called conduct, or reserved conduct, or unseemly conduct. They inherited it from Cotton Mather and the other jokers that were back there way back when. Anyway, we get a hold of this bird, see? Psychiatrist says, this man is insane. Incomplete statement. He should have said, this man is insane, dot, dot, dot. Now, your position would have been to open the cure for this fellow and an understanding of the situation. On what subject? It would be your innocent remark. Well, that, of course, blows up the whole field. That opens the doors to cure. He's insane on what subject? This guy says, exhibitionism. Oh, that's not a subject, that's a condition. That doesn't say exhibitionism, all right. It's not good enough. That doesn't give you anything to go home on. What's he insane on? On what subject? Let's finish out the sentence here. Well, they'd have to observe the fellow for a few minutes to find out what was going on before they could finish the sentence. And that would force them to observe the patient, and at that point they would find out that there aren't any similarities in insanity. So you can't classify insanity. So we observe him for a few minutes, and he kept saying, bula, bula, ooga, ooga, bula, bula, ooga, ooga. We find out what he's insane on now. We find out that, why are you saying bula, bula, ugga, ugga? He says, well, you have to. This is the South Seas, you idiot. Well, he's insane because he thinks he's in the South Seas. Well, now we've got the door open. Hey, bud. Please explain to me why you were in the South Seas. Oh, man, we're carving away on this aberration now with axes. We're going to town on this sort of thing. We don't have to cut up his brain because the aberration is being cut up, which is the proper target. And we find out finally, that this bird is stuck in a movie someplace that he has observed and so forth. And we find out he has a thwarted ambition in some particular character. And we find out that in order to accomplish that ambition, he committed a fantastic overt act at some time. He stole a whopping great big piece of money in order to go to Hollywood and be in the movies. And he was never caught, but he didn't get to Hollywood and get in the movies either. And he didn't go off the rockers on this particular subject till he found out that the person he'd stolen the money from had, as a result, gone broke and committed suicide. Too much overt. Now the gray walls start to move close to this individual, and he doesn't quite know what all this adds up to, but we have now a traumatic experience. We get off the overt, and he all of a sudden doesn't have all this nonsense going on. We carve it down. Would take adroit auditing. You couldn't do it in the absence of the discipline of auditing, you see. You'd have to have that right on the groove. Otherwise, you'd never get the data. You'd never carve it back. He'd never be able to blow any locks. You can't stand over a fellow saying, that isn't what's wrong with you. It's something else wrong with you. You realize, don't you, that you're an exhibitionist. They don't blow locks when you do that.
In other words, it takes the discipline of auditing to have carved down to that. Now, what would we have accomplished at the final end of that line? We would have found out the overt. We would have found out the basic experience with regard to it. We probably would have found a little bit of an underlying experience of some kind or another. We'd find a failure to understand something or other. And when we got all of this up, he would no longer be dancing around in the streets in a hula skirt saying, ooga, ooga, boola, boola. That's what have we done then? He'd also be able to remember that period of his life. And when you said motion pictures to him, he didn't instantly go and get his hula skirt and jump out in the middle of the street and go, ooga, boola, 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 boola. So the right answer to a hula skirt, he finds out, was not jumping out into the street and going, ooga, boola, boola, boola. Or the right answer to motion pictures, the right answer to motion pictures, sit and look at them. So now he sees the motion picture, he sits and looks at it. Take a drunkard. This fellow is drinking to escape, or he's drinking to this, or he's drinking to that, but I don't think he's really drinking to anything. I think he's drinking. Now let's go at the other way, too. There we've got an over-elaborated explanation. He's got a total solution to how to get through life. You drink. But you wouldn't even know whether he had it as a total solution or it was a symptom of something else or it was something else lying on something else until you carved into it and asked him what this was all about. All right, now you say he's insane on the subject of what? And you finally find out he's insane on the subject of liquor. When he gets a glass of liquor in front of him, he has to empty it. And when the glass of liquor is empty, he has to fill it. Now you start pushing this back again, and you may find it at 2 years old while he's lying in his crib. You may find the wildest piece of stuff, see? Drink your milk. Drink your milk. Drink it up. Drink it up. Maybe the kid's got a temperature of 115, see? Drink your milk. Drink it up. You got to drink it now. It's good for you to drink it, you know? You better drink it. I mean, drink. Sorry, you got to drink. Solution to all of existence. Drink. Well, this fellow can't remember his home life, and he can't remember his mother, and he can't remember the names of little children, and he can't remember this. Well, you start scouting down this line someplace, and then you find out he can't remember what his memory is poor on. And then, if you've got the channel, now you, as a Scientologist, know it's very beneficial to get a PC cognizing. All a cognition is a return memory. The reason why a cognition is so very, very beneficial to the person is because you're on the track where his memory is occluded, and so therefore you're in the process of clearing something. It's quite elementary. The PC cognites when his memory is returning. If you're on an area where the PC is cognizing, you must therefore be on an area where the PC was aberrated. You must therefore be tracking a held down five. If the PC never cognites, you aren't tracking down any five that the PC's got held down. I mean, it's as elementary as that. It isn't a particular kind of PC that cognites, and some PCs cognite and some PCs don't cognite. This is not true. What is true is when you're tracking down an area of where the person is unclear, you're going down an occlusion area. The person can't remember on that chain. And when you start cutting into that area, why, he all of a sudden remembers. And we call it cognition. He has ideas, and he puts the thing together, and he has realizations, and we give it the general blanket title of cognition. Well, if you're not going down that track, in other words, if you're not processing what the PC has to have processed, why, you, of course, are not going to get any cognitions, and you know very well processing a PC who isn't cognizing is a waste of time. It would also be a waste of time to process a PC who isn't aberrated. But if you're processing somebody, you ought to be processing what they're aberrated on. You have to finish the sentence, in other words. The guy says, well, what do you want? What's your general goal in processing? Well, my general goal in processing is to get bigger. Well, now, if you're going to get any place on this thing, you're going to have to keep your ears open. All right, good. He's got a general goal, and he's going to get bigger. All right, that's fine. Let's buy that for a little while and that sort of thing. But remember that this was an odd-sounding goal. So we're going to press this thing. We're going to push it. We're going to push it a little more.
I don't care whether you say why or when or what or anything else. Let's push it. And all of a sudden, we're going to find out, well, you see, I'm very tiny. Are you? This fellow's 6'2", see? All right, you're very tiny. Well, you just slid off of the rational being, didn't you? Over into the ditch here someplace. This guy's 6'2", and he's complaining because he's very tiny. Well, if you were to say, well, how big should you be? Ooh, well, I ought to be at least normal size. Well, good. What's normal size? 6'2". Now, the reason you don't find these aberrations in people, you're not looking for anything that's nutty. See? You're all the time prospecting for something that's normal. You can always find the normal. People are far more normal than they are crazy. Something like somebody sent you out to look for a red rock in a whole desert full of gray rocks. And you keep coming back and you say, well, I found a gray rock and I found a gray rock and I found, sure you found a gray rock, you idiot. The place is full of them. Anybody can find a gray rock. How about finding a red rock? Well, maybe they don't exist. Why, maybe they don't exist. Look for them anyhow. You know why I think it exists? Because your PC doesn't look good. So I think there must be a red rock around there someplace. All right, well, I'll go out fine. All of a sudden, if you really know your business, you'll pick up a red rock. You know, you say, my God, a red rock. You know, hug it to your bosom. Oh, you want to be normally tall. All right. Well, how big is normally tall? 6'2". Now, you have to be enough of an auditor not to say incredulously at this minute, but you idiot, you are 6'2". Now, you found yourself a red rock, see? In a sea of gray rocks. See, you could find any quantity of gray rocks. Don't bother with them. Just handle gray rocks till you see there's one edge sticking up of something that might be a red rock, and then you follow that on down. Now you dig for this red rock. And you find this fellow not only is not 6'2", and is not normal size, but he's only 3 years old. Marvelous. Well, you try to plot it, you're gonna be in trouble. You start what we used to call writing script. You try to write this guy's script for him. You could never guess these corners because they're just totally aberrated, see? That's the trouble with them. They don't go in logical sequence. And you suffer from the fact, as an auditor, that you're not getting a logical sequence. So you try to hang it up together so it's logical. And of course, the reason he's crazy on that particular subject is it is not logical and never will be. Not till the sun perishes in the sky will that be logical. So there's no point in being logical about it. No, your attitude is you want to be informed. And you'll eventually find out all about it. Now, if you know your business real sharp, and with this new technology on the subject of overts and words and definitions and so forth, you're going to run it back to some traumatic experience of some kind or other where a word was grossly misdefined. Where a word was really knocked in the head. You're going to run it back. So you know what you're trying to run it back to. You know what he doesn't understand. You know where you're trying to get to. And you all of a sudden would be able to put your finger on this. And the guy says, do you know I've always... He tells you now, see. You know I've always thought of myself as being 3 years old. And you know I'm not. I just realized that. Huh. That's funny, isn't it, how being, I don't know. You know, there must have been something happened that would make me think that sort of thing. I wonder what it could be. Help him out, keep him talking, keep him plowing, keep your meter running. Let's see if we can find this. And all of a sudden, he's going in on top of the thing to that degree. You all of a sudden find this wild bit of business. He had always thought of himself as a little fellow. And he had to go on thinking of himself as a little fellow because of some weird, wild reason. And the word fellow is misdefined. It means a splendid being or something. And it means that some ally always referred to him as a little fellow. And he's got it firmly fixed in his skull one way or the other, with overts and with holes and nonsense all mixed up. He got it firmly fixed in his skull that if he goes on being a little fellow, then everybody will like him and he'll be all right and he can get away with it and he can live. But actually, a little fellow doesn't mean what he thinks a little fellow does mean, but it does mean it, but it doesn't mean it. And all of a sudden, he gets this thing all straightened out. And you watch that button come up on the Adam machine. Now he can think on the subject of size. He can get the proper answers on the subject of sizes. He can get the proper answers on the subject of his relationship with other people. He can get proper answers with regard to children. He can get proper answers on anything associated with that particular subject. And on that subject, he is cleared. What does clear mean? It means on any given subject, not nuts anymore. On any given subject, not nuts anymore. Expand the definition. On any given subject where the person has been pretty confounded cotton-picking nuts, he is not now nuts. I don't know how to make it any plainer without introducing more complicated words. This fellow is now, you would have to put it into a framework of relationship. On the subject of children, this man is a clear. That would be an interesting attitude, but then that would be a perfect accurate one. Now, when you've got a majority of these points plowed up on the individual, so that there are no great obvious ones around on which he is nuts, you would then have a person that you could bend the terminology around and call a clear, which would only, however, be short for a cleared person or a cleared ability to think. Now we're right down to rock bottom when we're talking about this sort of thing. Now when we talk of clearing, the basic business of an auditor on the subject of clearing would use any technique or any technology which located, I mean any Scientology technology, none of the rest of them will, which located areas of aberration, that would be the selection, located areas of aberration in the being. Areas of aberration in the being. Not to try to determine whether he was sane or insane or something of the sort. And then which followed those areas down until the individual recognized an earlier causation for this condition. And the nature of aberration is such that he actually couldn't put it back together again if you gave him mortar, sticks, stones, and a psychiatrist. He couldn't go nuts on that subject again if he tried. So talk about the instability or the impermanence of a clear is nonsense. A person who has been alleviated on one particular area can't really make himself crazy on that area again. He has an awful time because he's now not only got the thing gone, which was being very tenuously held together by some horrendous series of mishaps and oddball circumstances, you see. The chances of becoming aberrated this way were very slight to begin with, you see. And It happened that all the right conditions existed for his particular temperament at any given, at some given moment, and they all came together at that moment. Why, the exact combination necessary to produce this condition occurred. Now, by the time you've gotten back and chipped a few pieces off that, why, that all starts to fly apart. Well, he can't put that back together again because he'd have to have a new experience of some kind of similar accidentals, and just the odds are against it occurring, you see. Now, he also has the education of having been crazy on it. That's the real thing that defeats it. He knows he has been nuts on it. So then when he sees himself leaning toward a condition where this condition might occur again and so forth, he already pre-understands what might happen to him that doesn't happen. Do you see? So, having had it, it's like being indoctrinated or vaccinated or something of the sort. Right? Inoculated or vaccinated. Well, he's got himself now. He couldn't go nuts on that subject again if he tried. The state of a really cleared up alcoholic. Somebody who really worked with an alcoholic and cleared him all up. Well, just the way I've been talking about processing, you see, using this type of system approach. Man, that guy trying to become an alcoholic again would be a laughing thing. I mean, he'd be a very laughable object. You know, trying to, let's see, I guess I will be a drunkard, you know. The liquor doesn't any longer have the same effect on him that it did, don't you see? And liquor, believe me, has different effects on different people. So this sloppy degradation that he always used to experience so deliciously and all that sort of thing, that doesn't occur anymore, you know. It isn't that he doesn't get drunk. He can probably get drunk or something of the sort, but it doesn't have the same effects. And he could probably sit there and pour down the hooch by the tumbler full, and maybe nothing would happen at all. This would be very, very horrible, don't you see? No, he wouldn't want to become an alcoholic again. But I'm just giving you the reverse side of the coin, that if he did, he'd have a hard time to. So talk about the instability of clear. Well, a person having to talk about how stable clears are is simply being driven to the wall of having to make a statement without being able to explain the mechanics of the subject matter. And he's having to make a loose statement just to satisfy somebody's curiosity, and that's a very dangerous thing to do. The actual facts of the case are, is once a person has been cleared on any given subject, he hasn't got a prayer of getting that way again. So on a subject on which an individual has been cleared, he is not only stable, he's unrecurrable. It ain't going to happen again. Now, how clear can you get? I don't know. I'm sure you don't know. But I can tell you that it's not in the field. Total clearing does not happen to be in the field up to four. Doesn't happen to lie in that field or sphere of processing. It requires new skills, and the state reached is not a state of being unaberrated on certain given subjects. The state reached is cause over matter, energy, space, time, life, form, and so forth, which is the state of OT. So the final state attainable is not a state of clear, but the state of total causation. It's a different subject, see? You're in the middle of a flight, you're all of a sudden having to say, well, this is a total absolute. Well, they're not only unobtainable. In this particular case, there is no total absolute because it isn't the way it goes. The reason it doesn't go that way is a person has to have a mind in order to become aberrated in that mind, you see? And clearing is something that applies to the mind. Clearing also applies to the individual in relationship to his mind or his mental abilities. And clearing is a subject which is very, very, very precisely related to a finite state of existence. My name is Joe. I live at 64 Elm Street in Peoria on the planet Earth at this corner of the universe, and I happen to be a newsvendor. This is finite existence, you see, labelable finite existence, the ability to survive and to handle a normal, what you would call average sort of environment. In other words, we're now talking in the realm of man is a being who is inhabiting a universe, and we are not talking about anything unusual or anything remarkable or anything else. We're talking about a being, we're talking about a mind, we're talking about thinking, we're talking about experience, and of course we're assuming that it happens in the universe across a span of time. We're assuming that it happens from present time moment to present time moment to present time moment to pocket a pocket a pocket a time track, where, you know, the existence is going forward. Where we're talking about an existence in which one goes home and eats soup at 6 o'clock. You get the idea. Where we're talking about living. Well, we've run fresh out of that subject when we go above this level and try to make clear into an absolute. We just go fresh out of it. Because from that point on, you don't clear. You get all the side effects of clearing, but you're off in a different direction. You're not trying to fix this guy up so he can think. You're not trying to fix this guy up so he can so he can suffer or react. You're not trying to even fix him up so he can remember. You're trying to fix this guy up. Or you're not even trying to fix this guy up. You understand? And the final product that you wind up with has no relationship whatsoever to a fixed up guy. It's a total resumption of beingness, a total causation. And it doesn't take place necessarily any longer in the physical universe. And it doesn't necessarily at all take place in finite time. The final product that you're aiming for. And to try to call this clear is impossible. Unless you now bent the whole terms of clear all the way around backwards and said as escaped from or sidestepped from or something or other, or if you treated, well, you just have to bend the term so creaky. Yeah, we cleared him of living in the universe. See? Sounds kind of weird. So you've got to go off on a different tack. So clearing is an assist to finite, meaning within limits, existence. Which just means that it's a guy's living, that's all. Now, a bunch of people who have been indoctrinated in the world of religion or spiritualism or something are going to try to bend these two things together. And they're going to take the supernatural or the unnatural or the totality of existence or the infinite mind in an infinite book or something like this. And they're going to bend all these things together and try to wobble it up against the normalcy of existence or something. And wow, that's how they got tangled up in the first place. Man doesn't leap from a state of total aberration to a state of total divinity because of three flicks of a prayer wheel. It's a road that must be walked. And it's a long road. And the earliest part of that road is totally involved with the environment in which he finds himself. The girl next door, the cars, restaurants, theaters, bosses, economy, and so forth. And they're all walked in that world. And if he walks long enough in that world, and if he graduates himself up along the line, and he gets clear of more and more of these aberrations, and he's more and more free, the gradient scale breaks down only at this point. When he tries for his next goal, he's going for broke. He's going right on out, don't you see? He's no longer walking in the finite existence. Now he's running things called GPMs. They are intimately associated with what makes a mind. How come he does all these things?
Why is he on a time track? You see, it's handling a different kind of a problem. And the people don't consider this normal. Let me point that out. An individual to have no time at all would not be considered normal. Don't you see? You're talking in a different framework. So how you could explain this framework, Lord knows. If you tried to explain it on the basis of we're going to clear him totally or something like that, I don't know what you're talking about. Because clearing is a finite existence of fixing the individual up so that he can get proper answers in a proper world. That's the place where it belongs, and that's about all there is to it. Now, if we're going to pull the big medicine drum out, you know, and we're gonna bow down before the altars of God help us and figure out exactly what is man's relation to the cosmos. What is man's relation to divinity? What is the exact nature of this universe? Well, we're propounding philosophical questions that he's never even come within kicking distance of. And most of the questions he hasn't even asked. You look in vain for philosophy. What's man doing on a time track? Well, you don't find it. Or he hasn't even gotten up that high. Now we've got a different thing. Now, actually, we have to shift gears. And at this point, we can no longer strip away from the being, just strip away, and shed, and so forth. We've got an individual who will appear as an individual now, and through his understandings of what is around him, and his exact handling of the masses and significance in his immediate vicinity, don't you see? And his gradual emergence and cognition of what's going on, we're knocking out his whole concept of existence, and we're replacing it with a whole total knowingness of existence. And that individual is merging toward causation, not being cleared. This individual is going to the point where he causes the past, not cleared of the past. The aberrations which you're taking away from the R6 are not timed aberrations. That's what makes them very rough. They are not something which, when you date them on the meter, they go away. Try dating a GPM on a meter someday. It dates now very perfectly. It isn't something that happened in the year 2681 BC or something. That's quite different than an implant. Something that happened within the universe. You can date an implant, and I don't care if you know the line plot or not. It'll go bzzz. You've put on the time track, in other words. You fit the thing in relationship to time. Well, you fit it in against the GPMs in relationship to time, and of course you get some very interesting things occurring. You get any n-gram or experience such as we're talking about when we're talking about clearing, and you only have to date it. And it'll tend to just go bzzz. You find the exact experience you're looking for, date it. Bzzz. PC wouldn't have a prayer getting the thing back. Yeah, but where's this time come from that you're dating it in? So I make my point that we're in an entirely different field. Now we're asking the question, where's the time come from that you're dating the clearing in? Ah, well, now you're in the field of R6. You're in the field of OT. You're in the field of recreation of the individual. You're in the field of the individual rising up toward total cause. It's a very, very long and arduous road even then. That's not a short road. You can sit there and run GPM, my God, and run more GPM, my God, and run. You don't run out of them very fast. And you raise your head and look around at the existence in which you find yourself still surrounded and so forth, and you reorient yourself a bit and move up the line, and one day you happen to notice accidentally that you're moving much faster than you ordinarily would move. You just notice it in passing because it doesn't bother you. Somebody who lived around you consistently and observed you consistently from a normal viewpoint and so forth would notice one Christ awful difference, if you'll pardon the French. But you wouldn't even notice. You say, well, That's a funny thing. I don't think I've been worried about that for the last 2 or 3 months. That's very odd, but I was able to finish up that job in 15 minutes, you know, and it used to take me all evening to do that. You know, just a fleeting idea, you know, a comparison. So a little lock blue, something like that. You pay no further attention to it. If the individual is coming back up to where he's more causative over the universe, he's less worried about what the universe is doing to him. And so he doesn't add it up. He ceases to add it up to self-progress. Do you get the idea? He's no longer looking at it in this particular field. I'm just trying to give you that there's a separation point here. You walk from the finite universe and start into the infinite. The world of total philosophy, the world of total beingness, the approaches to, not only whether did the chicken or the egg come first, but who brought up the question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You're off into another line. Now we're going for broke. Now, people who are interested in clearing are normally interested in their physical condition. They're interested in their mental responses. They are interested in their behavior pattern and its relationship to other human beings. They're interested in accomplishing finite goals in the physical universe, such as how do I keep my job? How can I better my economics? They're interested in this particular field. Of course, a person going up the other track, if he hasn't totally followed the clearing track, and so forth, is still interested in those things, too. Perhaps not as absorbedly, but still quite interested. But people are only interested in that who are very interested in clearing. This is a subject which takes that area in hand. Now, we get a long run of this thing and we take some guy who is a gibbering, screaming mess in some insane asylum, and we're going to take off enough separate aberrations off of him. As long as we approach this as an all subject, we're going to lose. This guy is insane, and we're going to return sanity to him. Oh, that's why you just can't take that little old needle and stick it into the bottle and get 3 ergs worth of lepidus guck 652 and squirt it in his gluteus maximus and have him all of a sudden be in perfect condition. So it's perhaps a beautiful dream, but it's a very batty one, and it shows that there's no understanding of what they're up against at all. See? We're going to take this bird, and there he is gibbering inside the gates, and we're going to take up separate aberrations, the ones that we can contact, the ones that he could free himself of, and one by one shake these things down, we're going to see that his general state improves. That is probably what makes people believe that he's being generally made saner. Right? He's not generally being made saner. He's being cleared of separate and distinct areas of aberration. Now, we could also say that his memory is improving, but that leads us again into a cul-de-sac. We should say he can now remember in certain definite specific areas. And we've made a better approach. And this fellow eventually is risen up to a point where he's only worried about the bedbugs, which are biting him all night long, except nobody can find them. And we finally even get that one traced back. And this was the symptom that landed him in the insane asylum in the first place. So now suddenly people pronounce him sane. Actually, you couldn't ever have said he was totally insane. And he's certainly a long way from totally sane now. He just isn't worried about these bedbugs anymore. Anyway, that doesn't make him sane. You're not sane because you don't worry about bedbugs. You get the point. So there'd be no sense in making a general statement about the bird, but let's say now he isn't any longer dangerous to society, so we can let him loose. All right? Now, that guy's got a long, long road to walk, man. That road is a very hard road to look down, even with a great big signal spyglass. You have to look down with a lot of power on that glass just to begin to see the vanishing point of that road. You wouldn't ever see the gates at the other end of it. You got to walk down that road.
And because he had a lot longer to walk than anybody else. Now, instead of just abandoning this fellow and say he's now sane, so we're not going to worry about him, if you were going to carry him on up the line, you would have to continue clearing his aberrations. And it'd just be the process of finding an area on which he was a bit, and run this back and find out what was the cause of that and knock that one out and square that up. And now let's find another area where he's, and let's locate the basic causation on that, and let's walk him down this road. And all of a sudden, this guy's flying. Well, someplace along this line, he ceases to be interested in becoming clear of his past. Somewhere along the line, he ceases to be interested in this, and he begins to be very sincerely, not on an unreality, but begins to be sincerely interested in causation. Personal, individual causation. What is his relationship and responsibility in regard to the physical universe? With regard to the physical universe. What's his relationship to the physical universe? What's his relationship to other people? Exactly where is he going? Now, you can also go nuts in this direction and think you're God or something of the sort, but that would only happen if you were still inside the gates. So you start thinking in these other terms, and immediately there's another road. It isn't this infinite road that walks endlessly to a distant and never approachable horizon. Okay, it's another road. And it's actually a shorter road, but it's shorter in terms of, is it closer to Alpha Centauri, you see, or Beta Centauri? It's still a long road, but it happens to be a finite road in its turn. Only it's now, you see, clearing now became almost an infinite road, because actually you'd gotten to a point where the individual could recognize his basic GPMs. He could recognize where these things came from and that sort of thing. There was no point in clearing him. Because, you see, ordinary clearing procedures won't touch them. So clearing at that point ceases. All right, now you walk over here into the long road of running GPMs, and there's plenty of them. And there's lots of tricks in them. And you have your ups and downs and so forth. And now you actually don't start noticing your tremendous forward progress. Your progress is probably a 200 or 300 times per unit of auditing time what it was under clearing. But a person is interested in different things, so he doesn't pay much attention to the part of progress. He very soon gets over the idea of wanting to blow out the electric light, wondering if he could, and short-circuiting things like this. He very soon gets over that. He gets more serious-minded about the situation because it becomes more real to him, becomes more natural to him. And he walks on up the line. He stops worrying about other people getting to be OTs and all kinds of little oddball things following. And he's got an end of trail in view. It's finite. It doesn't last. I mean, it doesn't go on forever. But there's your roads, and these are the roads which we're taking, and they're not one road, don't you think? One has to do with processing somebody within the limits of time and experience. And it has the deletional aspects of looking for things which that delete. You have to delete from the individual in order to make him get right answers in existence, you see? And you're looking for those specific things, and you're diagnosing them in certain ways, and you're running them down. You've got a different approach now. You can strip away GPMs, pow, 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 but there's lots of them. You no longer have the same approach to auditing. Your auditing character changes. The individual's reaction to auditing changes. A lot of these things shift. You can still take somebody who's running that road, and you can put them back on clearing again. You can do various things. Well, isn't that interesting that you can shift them from one of these processes back to another one? The odd part of it is after he started on the OT road, you can't shift him back too much or too far, or his meter jams. It isn't whether or not he likes it or not, but you're liable to shifting back over onto finite clearing, and he has already exceeded this. And what you'll do is in trying to give him finite clearing, he simply collides with the next GPM and it jams the meter. In other words, the only thing that is dominant or able to influence this case now is a GPM. And the locks are all on top of GPMs. They're not any longer on top of traumatic or life experiences. These different actions.
Well, now, as far as clear is concerned, let's go back to where we started out. If you leave yesterday's total on the adding machine without ever understanding it or cleaning it up, you're going to have a hell of a time getting the right answer today. The wrong answer is going to add into every line. Button on the machine called clear. That's where we get the term clear. That's what clearing is all about. Why anybody should go into a violent fit, because we have mentioned clear in a national magazine. And somebody saying, oh, he's going to start that again. Yes, he is. He's going to find the person that said that, and he's going to start it again. Well, now that gives you an idea of the approach to the definition of a word and how much can go awry and how upset people can get over the definition of a word. Now, actually, trying to explain the definition of a word without the technology required in the explanation can only be done in the field of allegory. And you can only go so far in the field of allegory without getting into a hell of a lot of trouble. So I invite you to use all the allegory you want right up to the point you find yourself drowning on the subject, and then to shift gears and get down to brass tacks. But you can't get in too much trouble trying to explain this if you really understand what it is. But it takes a lot of understanding. The term, in the first place, is not an elevated term. It's a good, lousy, messy, typewriter mechanic type of term, you know. It's corny. Clear. You can see the guy now on the bench, all covered with grease and so forth, and he keeps yanking the lever of this thing, and the damn thing won't clear. Actually, you're in the same boots in a much cleaner and more elevated position when you keep looking at the PC, and the PC keeps saying, but my father beat me and beat me and beat me, but you can't ever locate one single moment when his father ever beat him. But my father just beat me day and night, day and night, day and night, morning, noon, and night. My father beat me, and my father beat me, and my father beat me. And that's all you can get out of this PC. Well, you feel like yanking his lever hard. You can't find any entrance point on the thing. Well, you must be looking to some point that isn't an entrance point on the subject of clearing anything. That's what you have to decide after a while, because it isn't going anywhere. And you aren't clearing anything, so you sure better find something that you can clear. And that's what generally defeats the auditor when he approaches this subject of clearing, is he gets his PC into some area that either doesn't have to be cleared, PC's already sane in that area, or the PC has leaped into some area which is not about to be cleared. There's some interim area in between those two that is approachable. And the auditor, unable to find this, gets desperate and says, there is no such thing as clearing. You can't clear. There are no clears. Nothing could ever be cleared. He gets desperate. But his only error is that on the one side, he may have been looking for something that didn't need clearing. And on the other side of the thing, he may have been looking so deep into this case that he's not about to produce a relief of anything of the sort. He's not on a track then that is going to produce relief. And that doesn't mean that necessarily the aberration was too big or it was too small or it was too this or too that. Also, it might not exist. It may be just advertising of another aberration. And then he's defeated, of course, also when he tries to get too logical about what's wrong with the PC. If he tries to take how logical the PC's reactions are, or illogical they are, and make them logical by some sequence of events, which he himself is explaining, he'll almost always be wrong about the PC. Almost always. Because, you see, he's describing something that is nutty. And, of course, what makes it nutty is it doesn't make sense. And the auditor sitting there trying to make it make sense is going to be wrong. Because it's nutty. See, I'm going to leave my husband because he is a brute and he goes out every night with strange women. And the auditor all of a sudden can find no real infidelity on the part of the husband.
As a matter of fact, a little bit of checkup finds out that this PC has been telling this to other auditors. Husband is pretty desperate about this situation because his wife keeps saying this all the time. Husband hasn't been out of the house for 15 years. Well, now you can just see you now. Sit there and try to figure out. Now, why is this girl doing that? Well, that's the wrong approach. That's totally the wrong approach. All you have to do is recognize that she's not clear on the subject of husbands. Because she's getting wrong answers. Wrong answers? She isn't clear. All right, what's the hell down five? Well, of course, the thing that parallels the hell down five, of course, is a bad recollection of that particular area. So we could just improve recollection of the area. See? We could use other approaches on the subject of husbands. Well, old creative processing, you know, wasn't that bad. It was just because it bit a PC here, there, and so forth when they get into the big GPM on the subject. You could actually have her mock up two husbands for a short while or something. And something's going to change, don't you see? But you've got to work on the subject of the datum she's got in wrong, either by improving her memory on the subject or by clarifying her view on the subject or getting her to recall a subject or, I don't know, call a husband and have her reach and withdraw from him for a while. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You've got to open up this track, and you've got several lines by which you could open up the track, and you keep trying to open up the track. Sooner or later, the PC's all of a sudden going to start cognizing. You find out it wasn't quite husbands. It was homes. Homes. That's the one that's making sense now. PC start cognizing homes, you know. It's stay home and go away from home, and the husband goes away from home, and it's home, see? But home was always present in the PC statements, too, only you never heard it. Ah, well, homes. Well, let's get down to brass tacks now on the subject of homes. Well, how many homes have you had? Remember, homes. Oh, my God, yes, I must have lived in 40, 50, 60, 50. I was home when I was a little boy. Boo-hoo-hoo. Now we get the mis-semantic of a house. All of a sudden, a house. And there's some misdefinition and incomprehension on the word house. And it's all in backwards and it's all upside down. It doesn't make any sense and it hasn't got anything to do with anything. And that suddenly pulls out of the lineup and house was in there with the wrong association and upset and so forth and so forth. And that was then caused a traumatic experience after the fact on the subject of house and homes and then caused a building aberration on the subject of house and homes, don't you see? And then caused lots of overts on the subject of home and then caused a justification of the overts on the subject of home and then caused a tremendous necessity for motivators on the subject of home. And the motivators turned out to be the husband. The only person around the home never kicks you in the shins. But husbands can be made to do so. So now we've got the thing all untangled. It all goes up the line. Everything, life goes along beautifully after that. You see how it worked out. But it just worked out by you getting in there any way you could to ventilate this particular area and move it back. By any type of process, and you have many of them. And it winds up at the other end. You have now cleared this person on the subject of husbands, houses, and homes. But don't be too upset if you find out next month that you've also got to clear the person on the subject of family. This was a separate one. But if they had one that was that crazy, that close, then they were pretty plowed in when you first came along. See, they had lots of them. Because the closer the association between two distinct areas of aberration, the closer they are found to be together, why, the more of them the person has. It's quantitative. You don't have big aberrations and small aberrations. It's lots of aberrations and not many aberrations. You got it? The violence of the aberration is usually pretty violent. The nuttiness is very nutty.
But it isn't even necessarily dramatic or interesting. That's another thing that's upsetting to auditors sometimes. They're sitting there with their tongue hanging out to find the blood at the other end of this thing because maybe they found out it caused a near murder. And then they find out that it had merely to do with being hit over the head with a gin bottle when they were two because it fell off the sideboard. It's like waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know. That was the total incident. PC trying to make more out of it and so forth. You know, drunken father, drunken mother. We find out suddenly neither one of them ever drank much. We finally find this gin bottle falling off the sideboard. There's something happened, and it'll be very anticlimactic sometimes. Sometimes it goes quite in the reverse. You're following down this line, and the person just doesn't like to see threads around and that sort of thing, and you suddenly run yourself into a great big juicy murder. It's quite unpredictable because it's crazy. And it's crazy because it's not susceptible to comprehension. And the person can't add it up because it isn't comprehensible. But you can, for today, find the source of it and plow it up and throw it away so you can clear, and clearing is permanent. And so. Okay? Thank you.